I'm going to ask you for just a moment, if you have graduated or are going to graduate from anything, from kindergarten all the way to an advanced graduate degree, would you just stand for just a moment? If you have graduated, will graduate, whether kindergarten or advanced degree, we'll give all these people a good hand. All right. Thank you all for your hard work and your accomplishment. And we're going to talk a little bit today about, you know, May's the time. A lot of you all are educators here in the 8 o'clock service. Some of you all have been to over 14 graduations in a weekend, and you've shaken everybody's hand, and they've accomplished, and they've moved on. And what is this thing about graduation? And I want to give some words, whether you're leaving kindergarten or you have just finished your doctorate degree. There's other things that go into this that you would continue on and know that God's in charge. And I want you to know something. I think we need to come to this and we need to be reminded of this constantly. I don't know anybody that's not important. I don't know anybody that's not important. I was very fortunate in the way that I was raised, the way you're raised shapes you. And I was always taught from the time that I could understand words and begin to comprehend concepts that every human being is important. And if you don't mind, if you'll just look at somebody close to you and go, yo, you're important. Just go ahead and tell them that. Yo, put the yo in there. Yo, you're important. All right, man, y'all did great. You're not that important. All right, come on. Let's slow down a little bit here. Yeah, no, you really are that important. And so we learn, we move. And in church, I want to thank you all. I want to thank you all for your dedication to education. I want to thank you for your dedication to education. Now, you all know my view of education is a little bit different. I think there's two forms of being an intelligent person. I think there's school housing, and that's where we go to an institutional setting in a box, and that's a form of education. But then there's people that learn and know how to do things. And both of those are equally important. I know a lot of people that have graduated from Harvard that can't tell you where a carburetor is. And I know a lot of people that can tell you where a carburetor is, but they can't do neurosurgery on your brain. And so God creates us all in different ways so that we might accomplish all that needs to be accomplished. But in this, I want to take you to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And I want to look at some things. And I want to thank our staff. I know that when you look at us, we're wild and crazy We do, you know, unusual, out-of-the-box things, but I want to thank our staff because in the midst of that, they're very dedicated to studying and being the best staff they can be for you. And I want to just honor two of them. Dr. Angela Lashley just finished her Doctorate of Ministry degree in Children's Ministry. And so, folks, if you want to know, listen, I want to show you something that's rare just so you'll know about your church because, you know, it's kind of funny at Hillview. You know, everybody, well, they just reach anybody. You know, they let anybody in that church and they're just, if people knew who attended here, they'd be amazed at what God's done with the lives here. The languages people speak, the places they've been all over the world. And Angela studied with a unique group of people. It enlightened her what God has called to the ministry and what just comes to the ministry. And it expanded her horizons. You know, in our children's ministry, grades 1 through 6, our leader with the team, and it takes a team to do it here, has advanced degrees. Our preschool pastor holds a law degree. How many churches, you know, have a preschool pastor that holds a law degree? I always kid Beth Ann, she can either help you get out of hell or send you to jail. You know, it's a unique kind of situation. But I thank God for Angela. I thank her for going on and saying, you know what, our children are so important. I want to be the best that I can be at it and understand it to the best that I can understand it. And she did some really good research work on the Big Five. Have y'all heard of the Big Five here? You know, worship and Bible study and service and prayer and she took relationship building, fellowship. I know the Big Five. I was just having a brain hang there for a minute. And she did some real research on how that shapes children's lives, and we're an old enough church now. We're finally getting to the point where we can really research When the rest of us did our degrees, we did projections of what might happen. And now the staff that's doing their degrees, we've had enough time go through where we can say, this is what we did. These are some of the preliminary results, and this is how it's shaping people's lives. And that's pretty exciting, isn't it? That in Hillview Heights Church, you're contributing to the larger body of Christ throughout the world by what God is doing here. And that's what I want to talk about. We're all connected, and we need each other, whether you realize it or not. I also want to give a thanks to Andrew Eaton, our youth pastor. He finished his Master of Divinity degree, and he graduated this weekend. And he graduated from the Southern Baptist Seminary, where several of our staff has graduated from. I tell them, the young graduates, I tell them it was the Southern Seminary when I graduated from it. Now it's just Southern Seminary, but no, it's a great place, and a lot of learning's gone on there, and I thank God that, guess what, our 7th through 12th grade people, their youth pastor spent enough time making sure that he was fully equipped to equip others. Now, we've got kindergarten graduates, we got master level graduates, we got a lot of university graduates here that have taken time to study. Now, here's what I want you to know. I'm glad that you graduated and you got a nice little piece of paper that says you endured a certain amount of time, did enough tests, papers, and all those things to be considered graduated. But you got to continue to learn. Life is not about achieving a certificate, it's about learning to learn. What I appreciate most about the educators that spoke into my life were educators that taught me how to learn. Some of my favorite professors, one of them was Dr. Brian Hicks. He's now in the great cloud of witnesses. Before he became a professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, he spent about 37 years of his life starting churches in the Philippines as a missionary. I listened to every word that that guy said because you know what? He hadn't just written a book. He had read the story. He had been the story. He had created the story. He was in mission as he taught. And he taught us to be a lifetime learner. He taught us that God was in charge and God had a purpose for every individual life and nobody should be left out in contributing. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Now that sounds idealistic, doesn't it? I mean, when I say things like, oh, Pastor, that's so sweet and nice, and, you know, I wish the world could do that. But I want you to know, in the kingdom of God, that's the way it is designed. And I'm talking in the kingdom of God. I'm not talking in the world, okay? If you're without Christ, guess what? You're going to fuss and fight and divide and argue, and you're going to try to champion yourself. And those without a concept of God will fight and devour one another. That's what they do. Because they don't have what in their life? Come on, y'all got to talk to me this morning. What? They don't have God in their life. God is around them, but not in them. That's a huge difference. And we live in a nation, and we love to talk about God around, but we don't want to talk about God in. Jesus in me causes me to be. Not that Jesus is around, it's that Jesus is in us, through us, out of us, around us, and with us. Those are powerful moments. And for those of you who've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're now on a different purpose. How many of y'all realize that? When you receive Jesus Christ, He absolutely forgives you your sins, but it doesn't stop there. The faith doesn't stop with forgiveness. It starts with forgiveness. It starts a new life. And how long does that life last? It lasts for forever. And in this life, everybody's got worth and purpose. Now, I'm going to challenge us as a church. We ought to be the example in Hillview. I give you some kudos, man. Yo! Here's some things Hillview Heights Church has taught this community, that diversity can work together. And you know what? You've done it better than all the ologists. You've done it better than the ologists. I get asked that question all the time. How can y'all handle all that diversity? I said, we're not running it on sociology. We're running it on God's forgiveness. You see, you can't defeat sin through your mind. Does that make sense? You can't defeat sin through the mind. You defeat sin by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Which is, we see a lot of healing go on in this church that nobody knows about but those who are healed. Because that's the way I like to do it, Freddie. I like to do it like Jesus did it. You know what Jesus did? He didn't go get any TV cameras. He didn't send out tweets and emails. You know what he said? Don't tell nobody. Yeah, like, yeah, really, Jesus? Like, I was blind yesterday, and I'm 20-20 today, and I'm not going to tell anybody? How many of y'all, if you were blind today, Marley, let's say you lost your eyes. You're losing everything else. Let's lose your eyes. You lose your eyes, and the next day, you're seen. Are you going to tell anybody? You better believe it. John, let's say you lose your arm, and next week you grow a new arm. You going to tell anybody? Everybody. Here's what I want to tell y'all something. Genuine healing speaks for itself. Have you noticed? Jesus didn't take a TV crew with him. He didn't pass out anointed napkins. He brought the kingdom of God into the world. Wouldn't you agree? And he didn't exploit it. He exposed it. There's a huge difference. He didn't exploit it. He exposed it. Now, when we go to the 11th chapter, Jesus had an incredible prayer life. As you graduate, as you determine, listen to God, there's going to be an element of that big five. All of them are must, but prayer is a must. Prayer is one of those things, Fainter, you know how Jesus used to say, verily, verily, I say unto you. Truly, truly, I say unto you. Prayer is truly, truly, you better get this. You can't live in Jesus without praying. What would y'all say to that? If you want direction in your life, you better learn to what? Pray. And the disciples realized this. If the Son of God, who was God in flesh, spent a lot of time praying, where does that leave the rest of us? We need to what? What do we do the least of? What do we do more than pray? What do you think? Come on, talk to me. I like it when y'all talk. Huh? Okay, we worry. We complain. Some of these are great. Oh, we love thinking of our own selves, don't you? How many of y'all ever help God in prayer? Now, God, I don't know if you're keeping up with so-and-so, but you better really take care of them. And now let me tell you what you need to do to them. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. How many of y'all have ever done that? I've done that about Elizabeth. I said, Lord, here's what she needs to become. And anytime I pray that, the Lord speaks and says, really? 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 I don't know why it is, but the Lord always calls me Stephen. Anytime I hear that name, I'm scared. It's either God, my mother, or officers of the law, or the three Stephens. Maybe you need to be reshaped. Well, prayer reshapes us. Well, we start out at Luke. I'm just going to give you some things to continue on. This is a continue on sermon. I want to tell you, I'm more than pleased at how we're maturing as a church. We're not getting old, we're maturing. That's a good thing, isn't it? Now, some of us are getting old, but we're maturing as we get old. How many of y'all realize that you've got to mature as you get old? You know, you all have heard me say this 100 times. Being old doesn't mean you're wise. You get two options when you get older. You're either going to be filled with wisdom or you're going to be an old fool. And you know what an old fool is? Somebody that's lived a long time and not learned anything. And it's a pitiful way to go out. It's a pitiful way to go out. You meet these people, they're usually complaining all the time. They're bitter at everybody. They talk about everybody else. And you know why they do that? Because they hadn't done anything for 70 years. And when you get 70 years old, guess what you really... I'm not 70 years old yet. I'm just giving you reports. You really hear people that know that didn't work. There's only one thing I can find wonderful about aging. I know what won't work now. Because I've tried it more than once to see if you could make it work. And there's some things that don't what? Work. This is one of them. You cannot live spiritually without prayer. You cannot live spiritually without prayer. You can live religiously without prayer. But you cannot live spiritually without prayer. And the more you pray, the more you're going to love people. Isn't that interesting? The more you pray, the more you're going to see the importance of how God puts it all together. The more you pray, you're not going to become narrow in your thinking. You're going to become universal in your thinking that God is the God of all things. Well, the disciples ask Jesus. We need to learn to pray. One day after Jesus had finished praying, look at verse 11, chapter 1. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, he said, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples.
He said, you know, John's teaching his disciples how to pray. How do we pray, Jesus, according to you? A familiar prayer, if you've been around the church, but maybe so familiar we've missed its absolute reality in our lives. It's not words, it's reality. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Word hallowed, holy is your name. Holiness. Y'all, how many of y'all understand that God is not like us? I think some of you need to come to that reality. God's not like us. God cannot, he cannot participate in human secular ideology for this reason. He's not human. He's God. And he's so merciful that really what he helps us do is get over our ideologies. You know what I mean by that word, ideology? How many of you all have, we all do it, okay? It's just a big fancy word for this. How many of you all have a way that you think life should be, and that's the way it should be, and you become very disgruntled if it doesn't work out according to your ideology? Anybody like that? Michael, I remember being young. I have to say now I remember being young. I remember when Elizabeth and I were dating, we finished in high school, graduating from high school, and y'all have heard that story. Elizabeth had lamp cords all around her neck, and I had a robe, and we had it all planned out. I was going to go play football at Georgetown College for 4 years. After that, I was going to go to seminary for 2 years, and we would probably get married around that third year, remember? After a period of time, we'd have children 4 or 5 years after that. I was married my second year of college. I finished up at Western Kentucky University. I traveled back and forth from Warren County to seminary to finish that stint of my life. Nothing went according to my plan. How many of y'all have a life that nothing went according to your plan? Now, when that was happening, I'm telling you, I was angry. Because it wasn't going according to me to what? My plan. I'm like, Lord, I wrote a plan down. Where are you? Now I've lived long enough, just starting to live long enough to realize, wait a minute. God's plan is being written in spite of my misperception. That's powerful. How many of you are glad that God writes a plan in us in spite of our misperception? That means this. When you pray, Father, how holy are you? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Now, we miss that. JD, that's not what we pray, do we? We say, Father, you all right. Now may my kingdom be exposed. And a lot of us grew up in this stuff because y'all came out of the 80s. Remember that? Big hair, big cars, big malls, big churches. And you really pray this. Father, how holy are you? Bless me with everything possible. That's the American prayer. But that's not the way Jesus prayed. Father, how holy are you? How sovereign are you? How forever are you? And Lord, may your kingdom come. You know what that really means? Lord, not my plan, but your plan in me. Not my plan, but your plan in me. And here's what's so neat. How many of y'all realize if you follow God and you pray to God and you really desire the things of God, his plan is eventually going to come out in you. No matter how hard you fight it, it's going to what? Come out in you. But we have some response to that. We can either try to resist God's kingdom, or guess what? We can learn to live in God's kingdom. Bob, you've taught the Bible. What does the Bible teach us to do? To keep in step with the Spirit, walk with the Spirit, run with the Spirit, reflect in the Spirit. It teaches us to move with who, Freddie? The Holy Spirit. So graduates, guess what? God is in charge. How many of y'all are going to live with that? God is in charge. I don't know about you, but that's the only thing that gives me sanity in this moment of culture. God is in charge. Pastor Steve, can you believe all these crazy things that are happening? Yes. Yes. The immorality that just plagues our society at this time, I'm not surprised at all. Because luckily, I was very privileged to have the opportunity to go to school. And I loved history. And I read a bunch of history. And here's what I've discovered about history. Humans without God do the same stupid things over and over again. And other humans in the next generation think that they have a better angle on the same stupid idea of the previous generation. And they play that out for 40, 50 years. And guess what they find out? Same conclusion. The world without God is a mess. And when you repent and be in the plan of God, the kingdom of God is a lot more stable than the ideas of humanity. So what we're doing is we're living out what's going on right now. What are we trying to do? Save ourselves. What comes to the next part of the prayer? You and I aren't the supplier. If you really think you did everything you've done on your own, you're really blind. You're really blind. I got to go this week. I have some special schools I get to go to that I just love to go speak to. I got to go to Parker Bennett and speak to four-year-olds. Most of them aren't from here. I got to welcome them to our country. You know how blessed I was? I looked at a lot of those kids, and they were so fun. And of course, they're mugging me because I have a big time. I'm a kid addict. I just love kids. And most of those children, if they had remained in the countries that they were in, they would not have the opportunity for an education. If you all know why, sometimes y'all get frustrated at me because I don't bear a lot of mercy for all the whining that goes on for the United States of America. There's a reason for that. Everybody here gets to go to school. And so I have a hard time having mercy for my buddy who went to the same high school that I did for the same 4 years, had the same teachers I did, and decided to just mess around and not do anything or go smoke dope for 4 years or do whatever they were going to do and not take advantage and develop themselves. And then 25 years later, look at me and feel like I should be obligated to pay for their bad decisions. Because they had the same opportunity. Now, if they didn't have the same opportunity, they could build a case. Some of you all ask me all the time, why in the world do you support public school? It levels the playing field for everybody to have a shot. That's the kingdom of God. And there were some godly people that fought for that when we founded this nation. If we hadn't had some godly people in this nation, guess what? The rich rule. You leave it to humanity, those who can get it quicker, control the rest of everybody else. I encourage you, if you don't believe me, please go travel and go to some third world countries. Sarge, you had to be in some of those with your call of duty. Don't they all look alike? There's a few people that tell everybody else what to do. It's very common. They even have the resources to prosper, but they have a few people controlling everything. Why? Because they don't understand this. Our Father who art in heaven, may your kingdom come. Man, graduates, may the kingdom of God come out of you into the world. If you're following Jesus, he has put the kingdom in you, and your responsibility is for it to come out. It's to come out. And then he says this, give us our, what? Daily bread. Where does your stuff come from? God. How many of y'all truly believe that? My whole life is God had to do something or I don't exist. I had a beautiful friend when I was 21 years old. I hooked up with a missionary from West Africa. And this guy was like crazy. Miracles just poured out of his life. He walked 30 miles a day to his preaching points in Africa. And so he'd come over here to the States to talk to us. And I was like, brother, these miracles that come out of your life. And he goes, don't be too impressed. I said, what do you mean? He said, give us this day our daily bread. He said, God has to work a miracle in my life to get me to these places. I mean, he'd been chased by lions and everything else. You know what I mean? Back in the jungle, sharing the gospel with people. And he said, you need to understand. I said, well, why doesn't it work that way in America? He said, air conditioning. I looked at him. I said, air conditioning? He said, you do not understand because you're in America. You have so much, cars, air conditioning, houses, much food. He said, in Africa, where I live in that part of Africa, give us this day our daily bread means everything. There is no day old bread in the kingdom of God. It's give us what? And God's really consistent in that, isn't he? You remember when Moses, they were out in the desert and they all started whining? Tim, Moses was kind of like school superintendent. You know, he gets them out there, everything's working, and then what? We ain't got nothing to eat. I mean, you got a God that just delivered them from the Egyptian army, the most powerful army in the world at that time, and now they're worried about what? Snacks. Sound familiar? How many of y'all have ever gone on a glorious trip, and the most immediate thing on your mind is, where can I get a Snickers? I never will forget, Jeff Brooks was with us. Jeff, y'all remember Jeff? He played on our praise teams, and we were doing an event in Colorado, and we're up on this tundra. I mean, it's been untouched tundra up on this mountain somewhere, virgin tundra. We walk up, and it's just gorgeous. We look, and Jeff goes, they got a snack machine up here? I'm like, Jeff! He was hungry. Give us this day our what? Daily bread. Man, graduates, I want to encourage you, every day, look for what's coming from God. Every day, what? Look what's coming from God. How many of y'all would agree with this? If you really look at your life, God gave you every ability that you had. So yeah, see, I don't get this. People, you know, they get all nervous about tithing. You know, it's 10% of what God's giving you back to God. Why is that a big deal? And guess what? God doesn't require it. He asks you to give what? Faithfully and with a cheerful heart. But you know, I think one day we got to stand before judgment. And I think some of you all have really misinterpreted judgment. You think the forgiveness of your sins means you have absolutely no accountability. And I think it's the reverse of that. I think God's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? I gave you your daily bread. I gave you substance, I gave you intelligence, I gave you the ability to create, to achieve, to advance. What did you do with those things? And if all I can show God is a garage full of my toys that I collected on the way, that's a pretty pitiful life. But your kingdom came, God, through these things out of me into somebody else. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? And you know what? It's what I love about you guys. A lot of you, your lives have affected a lot of other lives. Educators don't ever look down on what you do. Last night I was reminded that I got to go to a beautiful event last night. It was an amazing event. And I saw some of the fellow classmates I had in school. One of them was a shot putter. I remember he held the record of shot put in the regional because I chased his record. I was about 3 years behind him. He is a radiologist, oncologist, who has developed certain laser techniques that help cure cancers that were uncurable. Graduated from Warren Central. And you thought all the doctors came from Bowling Green High. He took what he had, and I'm sitting there, and he kind of looked like he did, and he was still funny like he used to be because he was like this really big guy who was smart. He could bench press more than anybody else in the school. In the last 2 years of his school, we didn't know what he's doing because I didn't hang out with people like this, Merle. He built an electron microscope. We do remember his project because we said, what are you doing, Tyrone? He goes, I am building an electron microscope. We went, what's that? He said, that's so that you can see. And he starts all this science stuff, and we go, good luck, dude. Yeah. But you know what? If I get cancer, Tyrone, now Dr. Kenneth Tyrone Baston, his work, his contribution, his study, his willingness to go to Vanderbilt, his willingness to study like crazy, his willingness to say, God, use me in a way that I've never been used it's led to people being healed, and the kingdom of God begins to come out of that into the world.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And guess who they mentioned in their lives? People that had spoken to their lives and motivated them in their foundation. That was caused by a teacher. It was interesting. They mentioned the teachers that I would have mentioned. It's amazing that Dr. J, he was the physics teacher. And I mean, he was like 100% physics guy. You know what he did in class? He didn't do it by some stale, mapped out standard curriculum that a bunch of folks that really aren't excited about life created for the teacher. No, he went way beyond teaching physics. He didn't teach it out of the book. He laid you down on a bed of nails and put a concrete block over you and broke it over you in class. Now, today, you'd probably be sued 500,000 times. But back then, if you got hurt at school, that ain't no big deal. So I remember them breaking. He asked me to come in his physics class because I didn't sign up for physics. He said, can you be a volunteer? I said, what are you going to do to me? I'm not being lasered, doc. He said, no, I need you to lay down. They're going to break a concrete block on your chest. At that time, my little bird chest, I said, by gosh, dude, this chest can take. Come on. Then you lay down a bed of nails, and then I thought I was tough, and then he began to explain the physics behind it all, and I went, I'm not tough. But I learned something. He motivated learning. He gave students each day their daily bread, and Tyrone took it and baked a loaf. Now, guys, we got to start living like that. That's spiritual. It's spiritual to bless others. Y'all understand that? We've so locked spiritual up in the church that we forget everything is important. David, all those years driving those crazy kids in that bus, guess what some of them became? Kingdom motion. But guess who had to get them there? You. And if you hadn't come off that farm early in the morning and got that bus rolling and stopped what you were doing in the afternoon to go what? Most of them wanted to go back home. You see, everybody has a leg in the race. Does that make sense? Last night, my father-in-law had been prouder than punch, and I just have to believe that he wasn't peering over the great cloud of witnesses going, finally, with that big old fat finger, where he always said, keep working at it. Well, for me, the it is, Lord Jesus, give us this day our daily bread, and may the kingdom of God pour out of us into the world that you've made. And may they know we know you. You say, well, how in the world are they going to discover that? We'll give you this part of the prayer. In Luke, the Lord's Prayer is shorter. It's just to the point. It's to these three main points. Trust God that he is sovereign. Secondly, trust God in his provisions. And third, take what he gives you and place it in others, which leads to this. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from what? Evil. Now, how many of y'all want to go, for thine is the kingdom? It just stops there. It just stops there. So as you graduate and as you continue, I want to tell you two things today. Graduate and continue on to be a blessing to the world. And if you will be who God has made you to be, then the world will see God. I know that sounds so simple, but that is so powerful. Guess what? Most people won't be who they've been made to be. We spend a lot of time. And graduates, I wanted to give you a heads up. Don't be somebody else. If I've learned something in this world, I am who I am wherever I am. I was at Drew University is an East Coast university, dignified with Shakespearean theaters. You go, what were you doing there? That's where my prof ended up. I was talking to my colleague, Dr. Michael Christensen, and I said, Christensen, I don't get that. He said, Ayers, you don't get that. You live in your own world. I said, what do you mean you live in your own world? He said, you've taught me this. You are who you are no matter where you are. I said, that's exactly right. I said, you know where I got that, Doc? He said, no, where'd you get that? I said, Jesus. Do you know Jesus was Jesus no matter who he's with? If he was with the Caesar, guess who he was? Jesus. And if he was with those in poverty, guess who he was? Jesus. And if he was over in Capernaum, guess who he was, Sean? Jesus. And if he was in Rome, guess who he was? If he was in Jerusalem, he was what? But sometimes we're not, aren't we? How many of y'all are different in Florida than you are in Bowling Green? Be careful, there's Facebook now. And everybody's carrying a what? Camera. I hate it. And what do people love to show? They love to show everybody's failures. I'm gonna challenge our church to go the other route. You got to take pictures. Start taking pictures of people released in the kingdom of God. Amen. The world needs that image. What about all the preachers that have preached for a lifetime and never fallen in a moral failure? Why are they never celebrated? What about Dr. Billy Graham? 93 years. No, he'll be 95 in the fall. We're going to participate in this. In his 95th year of living on the face of the earth, Pastor Jeff, he's not there just bemoaning and waiting to get back with Ruth and the heavenly lamb. He is saying America needs revival. Even in his later breath, he is preaching the same message that he preached many decades ago in Azusa Street in L.A. I am not finished till I am finished. Those portraits of people are people that know how to graduate well. You know why? Because they never cease to contribute. Graduation really means this. You are now qualified to give more. And so as they throw you the graduation party, enjoy those few hours. And then remember this, to those who are given much, much is required. And so take what God has given you, you got this, and release those things on the world. Because I don't know, there's probably some kid over there running up and down the hallway, and you all are thinking to yourself, my God, what will ever happen to this child? And he may be the one in your old age that comes in and says, in the morning, I'll be making an incision here, and we'll be reconnecting the nerves here, and I've developed a new process that will allow this to heal a lot quicker. And you'll go, didn't you used to go to Hillview? Yes, I did. I thought you looked familiar. I plowed over you when I was 6 years old when you were coming out of the worship center. Maybe the fall caused this. I'm not sure. But now I'm here to heal you. Or it may be one of the kids that you don't think is doing anything is sitting over in the corner and they may create gasoline out of acorns. Who knows? The next president of the United States, not here in the future, guess what? She may be sitting in this auditorium. I think it'd be cool to have the first woman president from Hillview Heights Church. Wouldn't that be cool? It may be Clacy. God help our country. Clacy's always said since she's a kid, she said, Dad, I'm going to be the first woman president. When Hillary was running, she goes, she's not going to get elected. I said, why? How do you know? She said, I'm going to be the first woman president of the United States. I said, Clacy, God won't allow it. She goes, why won't he? I said, he has mercy on his people. Things would straighten up real quick because Clacy doesn't have a lot of negotiation room. She sees that there's things that need to be accomplished and they need to be accomplished. She also doesn't have a large mercy factor for people to get opportunity inside not to use it. By the way, neither does God. It's time for us to hear that straight. God doesn't act anything like us. And you need to read the warnings in the scriptures as well as the blessings in the scripture. As you graduate, you've been given opportunity. Now go be a fig tree that produces fruit. And don't you think for any reason that God's going to have a lot of great things to say to you if you should have bore fruit and all you did is bear leaves. And here's why people don't want to produce fruit. It's work. And it hurts. Guess what you got to do to produce fruit? The only reason I know this, my dad, is that he's an orchard guy. Really, I think he had a fantasy of being Johnny Appleseed while I was a child. We planted trees everywhere. But we would go as a child. As I was a child, we had these big loppers. I did like that part because you get to lop, get to cut limbs off. And I'd go help my dad, and he'd say, put it right there. And I'd put it right there like he said to. And he said, lop it. Boom, I'd lop it. I said, Dad, why are we cutting all the limbs off trees? He said, we're not cutting all the limbs off trees. We're cutting the limbs off that won't produce, so the limbs that will produce better. How many of you, as you pray, you need to say, Lord Jesus, you're in charge. You are the Heavenly Father who created us. And God, you're the one that gave me what I had. And now, Lord, how many? Now, this prayer is painful. Lord, produce in me those good things even more. And Lord, cut off the dead limbs. Cut off the limbs in my life that aren't going to produce. How many of you all like some non-producing limbs? I got some of those things in my life. I go, you know, a limb doesn't mean much, but it does to me. It's a great little limb. How many of y'all got some things in your life that just don't represent the kingdom of God? And really, God needs to take them out so the things that do represent the kingdom of God will even be louder and more visual. We'll let him take them. Amen. Have you learned anything today? Have you learned this? You're important to God. That Jesus Christ died on the cross so that you could be saved and your sins could be forgiven. Why? So that other people could be saved. Do y'all understand God's end to people being forgiven? Reverend Britt, I believe that's his message. My colleague Rick Warren, he's brilliant, wrote a brilliant book. I love every minute. 40, you know, it's 40 days, you know, of finding your purpose. For me, it took 2 seconds to find it. Go ye therefore. Purpose of the believers is to go ye therefore and tell the world about Jesus. And we do that in millions of ways. May the kingdom of God come forth in you. Remember that prayer. Pray it every day. Lord, you're in charge. Lord, thank you for what you've given me today. Let me use it wisely, if you will. Let me digest it to your glory. May its energy and substance be so that the world would see you. Lord, let me forgive people that are going to be unforgivable today. You really want to be a witness? Forgive people that are jerks. How many of y'all have ever forgiven a jerk? How many of y'all have ever met a jerk? Besides your lead pastor, do you have any other jerks in your life? Huh? How many of y'all ever met a jerk? Anybody here have anybody that's just difficult to work with? Yeah. We've had them here at church. Staff, I thank you that I can no longer say that, Pastor Reynolds. Aren't you? Isn't it easier to work now than it was before? Yeah, because we got people here. Guess what they want to do? It's just simple. They wake up in the morning and say, Lord Jesus, you're in charge. Give us this day what needs to be done and give us the energy to do it. Lord, let us forgive each other when we tick each other off. How many of y'all have ticked somebody off before? Y'all may not believe this. I disturb people sometimes. You know what that's called, D? Leadership. If you're going to be in leadership, guess what? Here's the best you can do in leadership. If you got half the people mad at you all the time, you're doing something right. Tim, you had a successful career. Because guess what? Jesus had all the people mad at him because he was bringing in what was right into what was wrong. And when you're in what is wrong, you never want to see what's right. And you would rather kill the messenger than heed the message. Our Father who art in heaven, how holy, how hallowed is your name. Give us this day our daily bread. Help us to forgive each other's sins just like you forgave ours. And lead us not into what? The temptation to not be what you've made us to be. Deliver us from the evil of doing nothing. And let us become in this world what you've made us to be. Congratulations for all of those who have accomplished on this part of your journey. Encouragement. Thank you for being who you are. You're important to God. Continue to do great things. And remember this. You will not go unnoticed. But I would live for the notice of God and not the cheers of man. Because here's the problem with human cheers. They don't last long. And there's always a new hero. Do what God's asked you to do. And when you take your last breath, guess what you'll be able to say? I want to say what Paul said. I've fought a good fight. I've run a race. I've poured out everything I've been given. And Lord, what awaits for me is being in your presence in the kingdom of God. And that's enough. So may this last breath here be my first breath there in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now that's a way to die. My colleague and mentor and dear friend, Leonard Sweet. Let me remind you, he's not a financial consultant. He said, you ought to live life with such intensity and with such giving to others that you bounce your last check. He said, I'm going to live in such a way that I bounce my last check, blessing others. Boy, if we were to live like that, I wonder what kind of world we would live in. You know what I say? Let's see. Let's see. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these folks that have gathered. We thank you for the graduates. We thank you for those that will be graduating. We thank you for the educators that are in this particular service. We thank you for lifetime careers. And Lord, I just want to pray, Lord, selfishly that you nudge them today and let them know that it is not over, but it is being redirected in the kingdom that your kingdom may become. Lord, help us as a church be faithful to educate. May we be faithful to encourage. May we be faithful to enhance. May we create, Lord, your opportunity to those that you've called. And most of all, may we be messengers of grace and hope and glory and forgiveness to the world. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we ask. Amen. You can't have any of this unless you take the first step. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner and I'm messed up on my own. Is that clear enough? How many of y'all have messed up on your own? I want you to get it. Yeah, every one of us. First Steve, I'm a good boy. I understand, but not good enough. Chuck, you're all right, but it's taken almost 70 years to get there. Amen. Jesus says, I want you in my kingdom now. Doesn't he, Nick? Now. This will change you forever. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You got to tell him. Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me of my what? Boy, when you ask him, Mr. Jackson, what's he going to do? He's going to forgive you, and you're going to say, Lord, my daily bread has arrived. How many of y'all like bread? Oh, I love bread. I'd weigh 700 pounds if I ate all the bread I wanted to eat. Johnny, I'm a bread addict. I'd have to sit down in a group and say, hello, my name is Steve. I'm addicted to yeast. But like fresh bread, no grace is fresh bread. Here it comes in that loaf, and it's fresh, and it's warm, and it smells, and it's the grace of God that says there's a new life available. Think God connects that. I am the bread. And he says, and break it, and take it, and eat of it, and become it. You say, well, how do I get that? Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I am sorry. I want to live in you. Forgive me. And what would Jesus do? Forgive you. Pastor Steve, what else do I got to do? You got to get him in you to do what he requires of you. This is where so many of people are frustrated. How many of y'all have ever gotten an electronic toy? Jack, you ever seen an electronic toy? Your grandchildren have them. Have you ever tried to play with one and it didn't work?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what. They won't turn on without the battery.
Exactly.
I tried to fix one for an hour and a half. Guess what it needed? Two AA batteries. How many of y'all are trying to turn your spirituality on without the batteries? Here's the batteries. Lord Jesus, come into my life, save me of all my sin. Nab, I hadn't met anybody that Jesus wouldn't save. But I've met a lot of people that think Jesus won't what? Save them. I hear this, brother. They tell me, well, now, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I've raised so much hell, the Lord would never forgive me. You know what I tell them? You're not as impressive a sinner as you think you are. I said, you killed anybody? Now, sometimes I get yes. I get real careful what I say next after that. But most of the time I get no. I said, Paul did. Moses did, and God renewed their lives to a whole different avenue of living. That's grace. You may need that today. If you haven't been baptized, what am I going to tell you? I bet y'all can tell me. If you haven't been baptized, what do you need to do? Tell me, church. Man, you all are sharp. You've graduated. Is baptism important? It's absolutely important because Jesus Christ said it was important and he told you to be baptized. And this is the way you start living in the kingdom of God. You start doing what Jesus told you to do instead of what you want to do. You got to trade in this song if you're going to live in Christ. You got to forget Frank Sinatra and Elvis. Salvation does not occur when you do it your way. Y'all remember the song, don't you? Frank Sinatra and Elvis did what? My jumpsuit and everything. That's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not my way, his way in me. So live in that. Come and be baptized. You may need to come, prayers of healing or whatever. But I want us to do something. I want you to come to this altar. Because today you've been reminded. How many of y'all been reminded of somebody that helped you along the way? Mine started with God. I could have written a real sob story. But God had other plans. God said, my plans were plotted out for you in the womb. And they are. And so really, life is not finding your plan. It's living out God's plan in your life. Amen. Elizabeth and I were going to go to Florida and pastor. I'm glad we didn't. Because I wouldn't want to pastor any other church. And so I've come to this conclusion. I'm not smart enough to be God. And I'm so limited, I don't even know what's good for me. How many of you don't even know what's good for you? If it was left up to me, I'd eat bread and ice cream all the time. And I'd be dead. Let God live through you, and you will live. Let's stand together. This altar is open. Lord, bless this altar and his people. Come, just touch them this morning. Touch these graduates. We're thankful for all of them, what they've accomplished. And Lord, just bring our church together, and may we expose the world of the kingdom of God. Let's worship here at this altar.